The following podcast is by Mr. Jim Taylor, elder law and special needs attorney, helping and protecting those who need long-term care.
And welcome back, everyone, to Answers for Elders Radio Network, as we are here with Jim Taylor talking about VA, Veterans Administration, Veterans Affairs, compensation. And this is something that's really I'm learning all about right now. And for those of you that are listening to the radio, or, you know, maybe by podcast on any sort of the podcast channels, make sure you check us out on YouTube, because there is a corresponding PowerPoint presentation that Jim is showing us right now as he is talking, and it really helps to lay things out. And certainly we can certainly follow along very easily just by listening. But I invite you to go to Answers for Elders on YouTube and type in Jim Kaler, K-O-E-W-L-E-R, and you will be able to find it. What's that?
It's spelled just like it sounds.
Yeah, right. So, Jim, welcome back, and we're talking about compensation.
Yes, we are. So we were in the middle of a slide where we talked about, we've already mentioned in the prior session, service-connected, and a rating on how disabled is the veteran. Mm-hmm. But need to point out, as we've mentioned this a couple of times, I want to make sure to hit this last point. For VA compensation, there is no requirement that the veteran serve during a time of war. This is different than the VA pension program.
Yes.
What most people call aid in attendance. Okay. But the VA pension program had to be during a designated time of war. For VA compensation, there is no such requirement. Okay. So that is a biggie.
Yes.
So there are some people who are eligible for both VA compensation and VA pension. And there's some people who are eligible for compensation only, mm-hmm. even though they, you know, they have a disability and they now have healthcare costs higher than their income, which is a pension test, but they didn't serve during a time of war. So pension is not available to them. So they can, but they can't get compensation. So now I mentioned in the end of the last session that compensation rating ratings go from 0 to 100, but by tens. So basically goes 0 to 10 by one.
Right.
Look at it that way. Okay.
So there's 10 categories.
There's 11 levels of disability.
Oh, 11 levels.
0%. Okay. You're not disabled, but you have.
Oh, got it. Okay. Got it.
You have something connected to your time in the service that is some injury or illness, but it hasn't yet made you disabled.
Got it.
But you've got the service, you've got the injury or illness, and it has been shown to be connected to your time in the service. That's 0%. Okay. And the money that goes with these different percentages definitely connects to the percentage of disability. Okay. Years ago, and I off the top of my head, I don't remember how many years ago, but before I started practicing, which would mean at least 16, practicing this form of law, your disability income depended on your rank when you got out of the military rather than how disabled you were. So sometime in the past that got changed, and now it is how disabled are you. Just as a point of reference, the highest disability rating, 100%, for a single veteran yields for 2022 $3,332.06 a month, $3,332.06 per month at 100% disability for a single veteran.
Wow.
For a married veteran, it's $3,517.84 per month. 90% is not 10% off of that. 80% is not 20% off of that. It follows this weird, for those who know math, I think of the curve almost like a logarithm. Starts out a little slow, big steep climb, and then you get near the top and it kind of flattens out. It definitely increases from 90 to 100, increases from 80 to 90, but it's not as big an increase as, say, from 40 to 50, right in the middle of this range. It's kind of weird. But I mean, the numbers are what they are, and the rating is what it is. The rating can be appealed. Whoop, I didn't mean to move that slide. The rating can be appealed, but the the money that goes to the rating cannot be appealed. It simply gets adjusted every December 1 with a cost of living adjustment. Don't know why VA does December 1. Good for them. It's not during the holidays. And they're always like right around, but sometimes higher than the Social Security cost of living, like a 10th of a percent higher. Okay. So VA compensation rates go up faster than the cost of living adjustments with Social Security. VA pension rates too, by the way. Okay. And then the special monthly compensation that goes on top of pension for, on top of compensation. So special monthly compensation on top of regular compensation. I wish they hadn't used compensation twice, but they did. Okay. So this is the potential of aid in attendance or housebound. So you may not be able to get, you may not be able to get out and have activities of daily living, but maybe you can't get out. That while that is a pension animal, it occasionally rears its head with compensation because the caseworkers at the VA who do pension also do compensation. I think they sometimes get their own concepts mixed up. Mm-hmm. And if it yields more money, shut up and take it. Okay. But that special monthly compensation rate varies. And all of this depends on, and I'm motioning at the slides. I didn't help people with to not see what I'm looking at. But how much money and how much special monthly compensation comes really depends on the disability rating. So that zero to 100 thing. Okay?
I can really see the need for an elder law attorney that knows how to position this to rally on and advocate on behalf of someone because they don't necessarily know how to answer these questions, you know, in the most effective way.
Right. And the thing is, you won't find many elder law attorneys doing this kind of work because they can't get paid for it. No one is allowed to ask for money to help with a VA application.
Interesting.
But they can charge on an appeal. So if someone, so that's why in Ohio and other states that have this model, where our Veteran Service Commission is very important, because the employees of the Veteran Service Commission, and I think all of them that are veteran service officers happen, at least in Ohio, also are veterans. So they make a point of hiring veterans there. Okay. But all of them are paid by the county. They're on salary. Mm-hmm. So while they get paid, making air quotes, to do these applications, they aren't paid on an application by application basis. It's simply their vocation.
Sure.
And they may do an application for compensation for somebody, and then the next afternoon they're doing a pension application, and then the next afternoon they're finding some county money to build some veteran a ramp on his or her front porch so they can get in and out with a wheelchair or widen doors or things like that. Okay, so they do all sorts of things for veterans and families, but help with applications for VA benefits is very important. The next one might be VA benefits for a flag for the casket at the veteran's funeral, or $300 or whatever, I think that's the number, but pretty close to that, for a veteran's burial plot. Okay. So they do, the Veterans Service Commission in Ohio and whatever other states have that same sort of service. They do all sorts of veterans benefits, not just these that are money related to health issues. Okay. So it is a great service and, but they're, but if it gets screwed up like that one I mentioned, it was actually a Veteran Service Commission that mentioned that old trust that could benefit the applicant, but was tied up in a way. It was like a special needs trust almost. You can't get at it without the trustee saying so. But it was still counted because the Veteran Service Commission mentioned it. Yeah. Big mistake. That after a notice of disagreement, an appeal can be taken. And the person helping with an appeal, assuming they're accredited, can get a piece of the action, usually about 20%, but anything higher than 20% can be possible, but you have to make a special petition for the extra on top of the 20. I do 20 when I do these. I don't do them very often, but I just do the standard 20. So for surviving spouses, the maximum compensation rate is $1,437.66 a month for the surviving spouse, but this would be under dependent and indemnity compensation, plus another $305.28 a month if the veteran was totally disabled, service-connected, for 8 years. So this is after the veteran's death. You can't get both DIC and for the family and regular compensation for the veteran, because for dependent indemnity compensation, veteran has to have passed away. If there are minor children, another $306 a month for 2 years after the veteran's death, plus $356.16 a month for each minor child. And then another $356.16 a month if the spouse qualifies for aid in attendance. And then this is health activities, daily living, or $166.85 a month if the spouse is housebound. Remember, this is another special monthly compensation. I mentioned it before. You don't see it very often, but sometimes it sneaks through. And these are all just like the compensation rates are due to change on December 1. By the way, we usually don't hear on December 1. We usually hear by December 7 and then back date. But knowing before December 1, it happens occasionally, but not usually. We usually have to wait a day or two or up to a week. So that is all I wish to cover with the VA compensation right now. I hope
that we're going to go into long-term care right after this. Is that correct?
We're going to VA long-term care services.
Well, you know, this is very interesting. Just a real quick question on compensation. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something about the fact that, you know, the Veterans Affairs Office, it's like, do elder law attorneys, how do you find an elder law attorney that can help qualify?
Okay. The VA has an online list of accredited agents.
Perfect.
They're not attorneys, and accredited attorneys.
Perfect.
So just Google that VA accreditation. You should be able to find the list. It'll be buried somewhere on some page under the VA Office of General Counsel.
Got it.
Because these are all monitored by the General Counsel's office, meaning the head lawyer for the VA.
Got it.
You can find the list online.
Perfect. And everyone, we're going to talk about long-term care right after that. Jim and I will be back.
State of Ohio residents, you have a friend to help you navigate long-term care while protecting your assets. You can reach Jim at www.protectingseniors.com or just email him at jkoewler-afe, that's jkaylerafe at protectingseniors.com.
Hey everybody, Jared Sebestier, host of Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. Few people could just flip the switch from working a career 30 or 40 plus years, retiring on Friday, without methodical steps to living what we call a repurposed retirement. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.